This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I sense this morning that when we sang the words beautiful, that there's somebody in here that you gaze upon the Lord, you look upon you're trying to look for His face, but in a sense, all you see is you see somebody else being hugged by Him. And you feel as if though you're in that place where you cannot enter, you cannot step forward and get the same love that Christ has to offer for each one of us. But I just sense, you know, Psalm 24 this morning says, from verse 7, it says, "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, and the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gate, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And it's just an invitation again this morning that you need to lift up your heads. You need to open up your door for God to come in, for the Lord Jesus to come in. So, Father, we just want to thank You this morning for Your beauty. We just want to thank You, Lord, that You, Lord Jesus, You came into this world not conformed by the ways of man, but conformed with the identity of Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ, of a Father who is love. And Lord, that You do not merely go the ways of the world. Lord, You are in this world, but You are not from this world. And that Spirit will continue to live in us, knowing that we are not from this world, but Lord, we have our identity in a loving Father. So Lord, may this morning just, may our hearts be open to receive. May our hearts be open to lift our heads, open our gates, and really gaze upon Your beauty, Lord Jesus. As You embrace each one of us with an eternal, uncompromising love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, so what a privilege it is again this morning just to bring the word to you. But just before we start, Convergence is this weekend. And we've been in our small groups. We've been praying specifically for the harvest, for the sound of the harvest. And this weekend we're going to continue speakers and the whole event that's coming to life. But just want to invite you again. We're going to stream it live from church here. So we start Friday evening at 7 o'clock with the first speaker, Courtney Becker, and then again Saturday morning up until Saturday evening, as well as Sunday, we'll have a live streaming of Pastor Rick Rousseau, his message. So if you are here, please join us. It's going to be fantastic. You really can't miss it. In preparing for this, God placed a specific word in my heart, in my mind, for the next few months, and I'll get to that now, but a question that came to mind, and I had to ask that this to myself, is saying, what comes to my mind when I hear or think about the word love? So I want to extend that question to you this morning, saying, what comes to your mind when you think of the word love? Is it something, someone, maybe a group of people? But you know, for me, it was really my love for God. It was my love for my family, for the church. I love hunting, so it's my love for hunting. It's my love for people around me. And so we can go on to name a few. But if you think carefully, and And just by the raise of hands, who of you, whose first thought was that of, I love myself first? Good. Are we on the right path this morning? None of us actually thought about that when we think about love, reflecting only on ourselves. So we can safely say that it's an outward motion, an outward feeling. See, my love for my family is not constrained or held within my own boundary, but it's for them. I will go through any length to protect them, to make it enjoyable for them, to enjoy life at any cost and at every opportunity that I can. If we look at the dictionary and what it defines love in, is it says that in an intense feeling of deep affection, a great interest and pleasure in something, and I want to add something other than yourself. It's a deep affection, fondness, tenderness, warmth, intimacy, attachment, endearment, devotion, adoring, and it goes on and on. So we can safely say this morning, love is a selfless act away from oneself to another person or situation in our lives. And all of these words that we've mentioned from a dictionary point of view points toward someone or something else in our lives. Yes, we have to have that love inside ourselves in order to point at somebody else. But, question for you. How many bylaws or conditions have you added in your life for love to be completely fulfilled towards somebody else? So what I mean by that is basically saying that if I say I love somebody, it's just saying that, okay, but in order for me to love this, really I need to make sure that this and this and this condition that person needs to fulfill in order for me to love him. It's like a bylaw or a condition. And if that's not fulfilled, then it's sort of goodbye. And that's what we're going to speak about this morning, but a bit about love. And a word that requires a choice, an action, or a sacrifice towards someone or something else in our lives. So a few weeks ago, I had a conversation with a couple of good friends, and we asked a question as to why we chose Shofar as a church. Many answers came out, but one that stood out above the rest was the love that we felt in church. Love that we felt among each other. So subsequently, God started speaking to me about His love for us and for His church, and more specifically, Windhoek, Shofar Windhoek. And from that point, He started working with me, and He gave me this particular word, saying that this is what I want you to lead the church into for the next term leading into 2020. And it basically just says this: use the love you already have to build on the faith you already share and grow in commitment together in the body of Christ to strengthen your unity among each other. Four words that we can identify from that, saying love, faith, commitment, and unity. So in each of the four highlighted words we will be discussing, I believe that the Spirit of God is challenging us to say, and asking us if you will be keeping that to yourself, or are you willing to extend it to the church family around you? Engage in actionable missions to share and live the Word of God to those around you. And I'm not here speaking about the saved, people in other churches that you feel need to come to our church. I'm speaking about the lost. The person who confesses to be saved but doesn't live it. It's a challenging one. And in the next weekend, we're gonna really dig into the sound of the harvest, the lost, and the calling, and hearing the lost, rejoicing in them as they come back towards the kingdom of God. So what I've done is I said, okay, let's take love for the first one. We'll use it. We'll create an acronym for it. And for me, it says living outwardly, visibly engaging the world for Christ Jesus. Okay, so living outwardly, visibly engaging the world for Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the first two today, living outward. So now I want to take you back to maybe when you were like me, 5 years old, or maybe it's a current thing in your life. But when I was five, I had a little dog called Sokis. Okay, so anybody that can relate to having that special friend in your life? And for some of you, it will be someone different, something different. But for me, Sokis was everything. It was a little white slash brown slash white little black fox terrier, long legs. But he was my world. We lived in Oshakati in that stage, you know, and when my day was planned, it was around Sokis. Okay, so Sokis was my everything in that time. And one day, when I was at school, the gate was left open, and Sokis ran out and was run over by a truck. So without realizing it, before he was run over, my whole life was structured around this, the love for this little dog that I had. And again, I want you to think of something similar in your life. Something similar that you can relate to, that was so, you would do anything to spend time, to engage, to do whatever is necessary for this little person or dog in your life. And as I grew older, that became my family. My wife, my children. We live for passion. I lived, everything was about this little dog. And again, as I said, for each one of us, it will be a different scenario. But here's the thing. That something or someone will somewhere along the line pass away. That something or someone, their life will come to an end. And what will we have left? It will be the memory of the time we spent, of the time we loved. Memories will make us ask if I could have done more, could have done things different for this particular person or someone or something in my life. But here's the thing. If I continue to focus on the difference I could have made, I can very easily forget about the difference I have made. So, a question again this morning. Does your love for someone or something make a difference in the kingdom of heaven? Does my love for someone or something bring a person closer to the truth and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Just take a minute and a few seconds and ponder on that. Does our love for someone or something make a difference in the kingdom of heaven? Did my love for Sokis make a difference in the kingdom of heaven? At that stage, everything was around this little dog. David writes in Psalm 4, verse 2, he says, O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? So this is an address by David to people who slander the devoted Christian, but also against us who believe the lies and slanderous things we say amongst one another. Exposing our love for little gossip, empty words, and any reason or towards somebody with a reason of not believing the same as we do. Our love for one another needs to advance the kingdom and not be in vain. 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17 says, Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Again, another warning that if we love the systems and the things of this world, the world gives it. More than we love God, it exposes our desire for fleshly things rather than the things. Rather than things that are showing the love for the Father advancing the kingdom of God. It demonstrates that worldly things will come and pass, but whoever does the will of God abides forever, and it will continue forever. Because God is everlasting. So let's take it again towards ourselves. What are we living for in life? And how are we living it? Is it an inward focus, inward towards ourselves? Or is it outward for the kingdom of God? As a Christian in the world, is it possible that we are giving the impression to those around us that we are avoiding worldly pleasures while still harboring worldly attitudes in our hearts? I'm just going to read that again. As a Christian in this world, is it possible that we are giving the impression to those around us that we are avoiding worldly pleasures while still harboring worldly attitudes in our hearts? You see, love is an action, or it's a choice, it's an action, it's a sacrifice that we make towards something or someone else in our lives. And if we take the first two words of the acronym, living outwardly, we need to ask ourselves, what does it look like to the world when we live love to them? What does it look like when we live love to the world? And one scripture that sort of sums that up for me is in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 to 15. And I'm reading from New King James Version, which says, For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Three things that we can get out of this, of living love outwardly. And the first thing is, the love of Christ pushes us away from something. And what would that be? The love of Christ pushes us away from sin. It compels us. Other translations use the word constrain or control or bind us. The love of Christ controls us, as the ESV would say. And that love pushes us away from sin. Christ died for our sin, accepting Him loving Him and living for Him will push us away from sin. The love of Christ constrains us and helps us to turn away from sin. The world pushes for the sin, but the love of Christ is against it. The second thing that we can take out of this, the love of Christ pushes us towards something. So first it takes us away, and now it pushes us towards something. And that is people. Because Christ was for His people and is for His people. And what does that do in our lives? The love of Christ pushes us towards the lost, towards those that need Him, towards us and those around us. And it all points back to what we spoke about earlier, the deep love for someone or something that you may not completely comprehend on. Sometimes that's utmost feeling. Living love means I'm living for somebody or somebody else other than myself, and by all means try to sustain it all the time. The world proclaims all sorts of rights for oneself, but our love for Christ pushes us to love those around us unconditionally. And the third thing that we can take away from this is the love of Christ keeps us in something. And that is in Jesus, because He died for us. See, God loved us so much that He had to make a way for us to come to Him. He had to reopen the one-way street of love back towards Him. So He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, so that we can step away from the sin in our lives and step into the calling of living towards people, the love that He has for us. Firstly to God, firstly to Jesus, because He gave us that opportunity, and towards people. By keeping us in His love, He enables us through His Spirit to live in Him, away from sin and towards people. So why did He do this? It's because of His love for us. Christ was living outward to people around Him. He wasn't constrained to the world, or He wasn't compelled to become like the world. He was in the world, but He was not of the world. He was here to glorify the Father, because of the way that He lived. It was a love for His people, towards the people, but to glorify the Father. See, that intense feeling of deep affection that Paul says compels us or controls us should then, in other words, drive us to live outward and away from ourselves. It should compel us to live for Christ who died for us. We need to understand that God sent Christ, whom had no sin, to die on the cross so that we can be saved. Him who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Living outward makes us push away from something, pushing us towards something, because we are in something. Away from sin, towards people, because we are in Christ. And if we say, what does outward love look like to the world? We can again start by asking a question. Is our love for someone limited by the conditions we have in place? And if not met, it's goodbye. If this person doesn't love the way I want him to love me, or the way he acts as I want him to act, I'm not going to love him. If we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we say that we love Him, are we living a life of love in Christ that others can see it? And don't get me wrong, it's not works. It's not works. people will see when you love somebody dearly. Because you will go through all lengths to sustain that. Jesus said to go out into all the world, baptize them in the name of the Father. To preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey all that I have commanded you. And what did he command us? Key scriptures that stands out in this is John 15, verse 12 to 14, where he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. John 13, verse 34 to 35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this people will know that you are my disciples. And if you have love for one another. And both these texts show an outward action. He says, love me, but love one another as I have loved you. And here's the thing. Christ didn't just die for you and me sitting here today in this building. He died for every single person on this earth. He died for each one of us so that we all can be saved. But you have to make that choice in your life. You have to choose to believe in Christ. So if I say that I'm a Christian, if I confessed Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior, and in my quiet time I worship Him, and I love Him, and I proclaim my life towards Him, I can, in other words, say that I've chosen love. Because God is love. 1 John 4, verse 7 to 8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Three things that we can take out from this. Loving one another in the first part of that sentence. Outward love is not kept to oneself. God commands us, love one another as I have loved you. The second thing is fueled by the love from God Himself. For God is love. Freely you receive and freely you shall give. God doesn't love us with a certain small and fine print, and says, if this and this and this is not met, then only I can love you. God loves us unconditionally. That's why He had to make a way. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. See, what use will my cup be if I overflow and I have this amazing love in me, but I do not live it outwardly towards somebody next to me that needs it? And the third thing is showing Jesus by His love to the world. So by loving one another, fueled from the love by God Himself, we need to be showing Jesus, which is love, who is love, by His love to the world. We need to understand that God loved us so that we can love the world. And though love has been perverted by the world in so many ways, it's our responsibility to abide in the love that Christ had for us, to abide in that, to live it for those outwardly around us. It's not something we can keep to ourselves. I wanted to read you a story this morning, but I'm going to change that, and I'm actually just going to tell you a story out of my own life. And many of you know that. But I want you to hear it again, because in preparing for this, this is what the Spirit really brought to my mind and said, listen, you can read a story about somebody else, but you've got your own story of love that you can tell. So as many of you know, we have our newest addition to the family, which has been with us for the last four and a half months. Her name is Faith. And Faith was born, and her mother left her in the hospital, said that, you know what, I cannot care for this. But thank God, leaving her in the hospital and not somewhere else. But in that particular moment or that day before we received her, we already had a plan and a motion in mind from the church's side to reach out to many mothers, in a sense, sit in the same situation that there's no way out for them. They do not know where the next meal is going to come from. There, holding on to this one tiny little baby in their lives, which they love with all their heart. And so through the Babies Cry Ministry, we went out to the hospital and we prayed for mothers. And in myself and Melissa's heart, something dramatically changed and stirred. We realized that sometimes these people, they just need to be loved. But then the need arose, and we met a small abandoned baby that was left in the dumps and in the riverbed. She was found, and after a month of being in hospital, they managed to trace the mother, and then they arrested her because of child negligence. And when we got to Princess was already a month in the hospital. Her father visited her once. And his words was that if she is not sick anymore, because she was suffering from severe diarrhea, if she is not sick anymore, she's not ill anymore, then I will come and take her. Again, a condition on love, ne? It's not our place to judge. But I'm just illustrating a point here, saying there was a condition to this. And I do not know what the circumstances and situations was. And that morning when we went back to take, Melissa and him came back with some clothes, and they washed the clothes, and I was like, Lord, we're going to go back there today, and we're going to pray for this little girl. But in my heart, I just felt something more needed to be done for her. And she's but one of thousands of kids that are abandoned. And the moment that we stepped into that hospital, and I said to Maurice, we need to do something. And Ninka's words came to mind the previous night of, Lord, Mama, can't we just take her home just for a while until she's better? Look after her, nurture her. Immediately that dropped into my spirit, and I said, well, this is what we're going to do. So I walked on my stepometer thing, 8,000 steps, just in the Katutura hospital that morning, to find a willing social worker to take and to sit down and listen to the words of two Shirumbus, white people that wanted to make a difference here. Again, just hear my heart. It's not towards me as the shining person here today. But there was such a deep desire of love. As we went through the motions from social worker to social worker to social worker, in the end, the answer was, sorry, but Brent says, you cannot, it's not going to work, because she's already already there's already a process and a system that has that needs to take place. The mother has been found and this and that. And because it's a criminal case, we can't get her. So my heart was shattered. I was like, Lord, but I thought for sure we're going to take Princess home. But in that, God stirred something more. And he says, well, are you willing to continue? I said, yes, Lord. So he made a way for us through one of the biggest the social workers in town. And we managed to get to her. And we started the process of fostering. 3 months later, we received the call on a Thursday afternoon. He says, listen, Faith is in the hospital. You can come and get her. And that Monday morning, we stepped in with such great excitement, such big excitement in our hearts of this is our new baby that we're going to have. As we stepped into that hospital, we did not know the condition of this baby. We did not know the full history of this baby, of the mother, of what she has been going through. But one thing was very clear, that faith was going to be part of our lives. And we're going to make sure, and we're going to go through all lengths possible to make this happen. And 4.5 months down the line, I can just tell you that it changed us as a family. The love we have for that little one, knowing that because of our love for her, she has a chance. She's been shown love, and she will have a chance in life to show that love to somebody else. And the same with the story that I wanted to tell you. Faith's life was hanging in the balance. And because God had this amazing plan for us to step in and change the perspective or change the whole scenario and the way this will pan out, she has a chance in life. If she didn't come to us, what would have happened to her? She would have been placed in either in a home or maybe with the other family. But we do not know the outcome. And that's why God had a specific plan for her in her life. And that was to meet us. God stirred it in our hearts to meet with her. Now we are joined together because the love of Christ compels us to live for the people because we are in Christ. So if this love abide in me and I keep it for myself, what effect will it have on the kingdom of God? Will the kingdom of God be extended or grow? No, it won't, because I just keep it for myself. My love for Christ should compel me to do whatever is needed so that all will hear the gospel. To live away from sin towards the people because we are in Christ. I need to ask the question every single morning when I wake up, am I living for Christ today? Does my love that I have for Christ compel me to do what is needed for His kingdom? Jesus took the first step and He said, you know what, I will die for you. I will lay down my life for you. And I expect you just to go and do the same out of love. Because we are not living from the flesh, but we are living from the Spirit. The flesh draws us to the world, but the Spirit makes us live for the kingdom of God. The question I have, I want to end off before we take communion this morning. And firstly, I had to ask myself, does my love for Christ cost me anything? Am I keeping it for myself? Am I living it inwards or am I living it outward to those around me? And we can have many excuses of saying, yeah, but the work circumstances is difficult. You might say that, you know what, you're a pastor. It's easier for you to go and drink coffee, show them to exchange. But you have people around you in your lives that needs to see this. Though it may be the most difficult people in the world, which is sometimes our family, the ones closest to us, that is the one that we need to show the love the most. But how are we doing it? Why are we doing it? Who are we doing it for? And those are all questions we can ask this morning is, does your love for Christ cost you anything? And how are you living it out? And as we hand out communion, we're going to be sharing or just dividing up into smaller groups this morning, and we're going to pray on a scripture in Isaiah 26, verse 1. The sound of rejoicing. See, when last were you excited and happy and rejoicing when somebody close to you came to Christ? When last did you tell somebody of the love of Jesus Christ and the love that God has for him? And in that and through that, rejoicing in the love of Christ. And as we end off, two things. We need to be living love, and it needs to be outwardly. Because if it's for ourselves, it's not worth to anybody, it's not worth anything to anyone else. So if you do have your Bibles here, I'd like you to just open it up on Isaiah 26, verse 1. In that day, the song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulk wards. Open the gates, verse 2, open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. So I just want us to divide up into groups of three or four, those closest to you, behind you. Let's just get close together, and then we're going to pray on this one point, the sound of rejoicing. I just wanted you to keep that in the back of your mind as well. Just getting back to the question this morning. Is, you know, does your love for Christ cost you anything? And how are you living it out? Does my love, and make it personal, because I had to make it personal as well. Does my love for Christ cost me anything? And how am I living it out? And as we go into, so we're going to take communion, I just want to read from Luke 24, verse 14. It says, and when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. And I just sort of sense this morning before we started as well with this that God's inviting each one of us to the table this morning. Inviting us to the table to have a conversation with us about his love for us. And that's the first place where we're going to start. We're just going to get back. We're going to close our eyes now and we're going to pray together and just say, Lord, you know, we need to get back to that first love. So just where you are, turn two or three together, and we're just going to pray on this point. The sound of rejoicing, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. But are you still rejoicing about a lost soul coming to the Lord? And what is your love towards that person and those that need the love of Christ?
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.